joining us right now, and he was on with us some time ago, is a man named David Gething, who had an incredible accomplishment and a crazy accomplishment, in fact. He won the World Marathon Challenge in 2015, and he ran seven marathons on seven different continents in 7 days. He chronicled the experience with his book, Relentless, which is available now. The website is davidgething.com. That's G-E-T-I-N-G for more information. And we have a link on our Facebook page as well. We thought, since we're right in the middle of watching these incredible athletes do incredible things and during the Olympics here, we wanted to get what the mindset is like to conquer something like that, or to be, you know, that kind of athlete. And we thought David would be a great person to talk about. Also, his story again, we want to hear it again. And let's welcome David to the show. David, welcome.
Hey, thanks for showing back. Much appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah, and so let's talk a little bit now. You're in Hong Kong right now.
Indeed, yeah. It's, in Hong Kong, it's about 6 o'clock in the evening, so a bit foggy, a bit overcast, but yeah, not too bad a day.
Okay, and so how long have you lived in Hong Kong, David?
Been here for 20 years. Basically, lived more of my life here. I was born in Australia, but I lived more of my life here and lived in the rest of the world, actually, which is kind of funny. It's never expected, but it works out quite well.
Okay. All right. Now, what's interesting, now you ran this World Marathon Challenge. It's seven marathons on seven different continents in 7 days. But let's go back. You were not a very athletic person when you were younger, correct?
Yeah, this is sort of the honest truth of it. It's why when I started this whole crazy endeavor, it actually started, let me tell you, it's 10 years ago now, nearly to the date. And I know that because it's about to be my first daughter's birthday. And just before she was born, my wife said, look, you know, you're really out of shape. And I guess I was about, like, 60, 70 pounds overweight. And drinking a soda, and she said it was time to change the ways. And that's when some started to venture into running. I never, before that, never run a mile in my life.
And then, so you started to work out and get into shape. And then that eventually led you to doing this marathon, the World Marathon
exactly.
Challenge.
And look, I should be fair, you know, it wasn't sort of overnight, suddenly the clouds parted and the sun shone down. It was a long road. It took me sort of 7 years to get fit enough to do this race.
Sure.
It took a lot of training, a lot of time, and a lot of help from people, but yeah, eventually it was easy to get there.
What kind of training goes into? I mean, how often were you training, David? How hard was the training to prepare for seven marathons? I mean, in 7 days.
That was really tough. I mean, to give you sort of a picture of my week, I probably run normally 5 times a week, probably averaging somewhere about 70 miles total running per week. But I've also been doing about 150-mile cycling and about doing five or so miles a week swimming. So I guess I'm probably training 25 to 30 hours a week total. Yeah, a lot of time.
That's a lot. That is a lot, man. That is a lot of time. Wow.
Well, the problem is that in a way, like, I'm just an average guy. You know, I have to work. I've got a family. I've got young daughters. So it's always about balance, right? You can't just make it all about doing this training. It's going to be still coming up to my day job and still looking after the kids, and yeah, it's a long haul.
How did you find out about the World Marathon Challenge, David?
It's a strange coincidence. I had this idea of trying to do a marathon with the continent, and I was sort of Googling it and had a look around, and I found this guy who'd done it once before. I emailed him and said, you know, could you give me some tips on how to do it? And he said, I'm actually thinking of doing a race, and if I do a race, do you want to be in? And I thought, yeah, absolutely. As long as my wife gives me the approval code, then yeah, I'm in.
Wow. And so how many other people participated in this?
There were, I believe, there were 11 other people. Guys and girls from around the world. We had a couple from India. There was an American guy. Actually, two American guys. A couple of British guys. Lady from Finland. Another guy from Australia. So yeah, so there's a whole... It really, I just thought it was quite nice about it. It really was like a world marathon challenge with such a diverse set of people as well.
Mm.
It was quite a world event.
It's also, you know, the last time we spoke, David, one of the things that you took away from this was just because this was such a crazy thing to do, you know, to get on these planes and go to different continents and do these marathons. You bonded with these people. Like, you guys will have this experience as a shared thing for the rest of your lives.
Oh, absolutely. And it's one of those strange things. You spent, what is it, 1 week with these guys, and yet if they turned up on the doorstep now, you'd welcome them and, you know, take the shirt off your own back, give them whatever they need. I can't say I've ever been through a huge conflict or anything, but it feels like it was such a time of emotional stress that you had to sort of rely on each other and work with each other, and you form those connections at a time of stress that you might never get otherwise.
Yeah.
It was an amazing thing.
And so where did it start? And explain how this worked. You guys you started in one place, and then you ended up just running a marathon, getting on a plane, going to another place, running a marathon, getting on a plane, and you did this 7 different continents in 7 days. Where did it start?
Okay, so we started in Antarctica. To get to Antarctica, we took this kind of old Soviet-era transport plane down there. There's no regular flights down there, so we hitched a ride on board this transport plane that was taking supplies from military base down there for Argentinian military. As you say, we did the marathon in Antarctica. From the time the starting gun went off on the first conflict in Antarctica, we had 7 calendar days, which is 168 hours,
right,
to get right around the world. So we, Antarctica, they went to Chile for South America, Miami for North America, Madrid for Europe, and then we got to Morocco for Africa, Dubai for Asia, and finished up under the Harbour Bridge in Sydney, Australia. Less than 7 days later, we all made it.
And as we spoke before, this was not. Did you get any? Explain how this works. You get on a plane. Do you get to sleep on this plane?
That's the plan. You know, I was kind of, before Ben was saying, the kind of guy who could never sleep on a plane. I'll tell you what, by the, like, the 56th marathon, you could have put broken glass on that thing. But this was a weird thing, right? You got off the plane, and then when you got to Miami, you got changed in the Miami airport toilets. You got changed in, like, runners, and basically got in the car and ran the marathon, and then finished and got back in and went to the next place. And so really the only time you had to rest was on the plane for the next one. There were little times of just waiting for flights in a couple of towns. But in general, it wasn't like we stopped the clock after each marathon. Once we started in Antarctica, we had to keep going. And we were really lucky that way. I mean, if one of the flights was cancelled, it would have all been over.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's true. I never even thought of that. A cancelled flight would ruin everything.
Exactly, right. But it meant, you know, we had to keep some time of our sleeve. So basically, as soon as we landed, we ran. And I mean, in some of the places, like when we got to Morocco, it was 2 o'clock in the morning and it was raining, but it was kind of no choice. We had to run my marathon. And then, 6-7 hours later, we were all on a plane again to go to the next place. And I guess I'd say that is the only thing I'm a little bit sort of regretful of, is that some of the places we went to, like Morocco, I would have loved to have seen, but, you know,
you were you couldn't see anything because you were running.
So. Exactly. I mean, I'd open my eyes while I was running and taking what I saw, and that was about it. I got to the country and back on a plane to the next place.
Right. Wow, crazy. All right, David, hang on a second, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, David Gething is with us, and he's live from Hong Kong, where he's a veterinarian surgeon. I'll talk a little bit about that as well, and I want to get his impression of what it's like for these athletes right now at the Olympics and what they have to go to prepare, and what's the mindset and how you get your body in that kind of shape. His book is called Relentless, and an insane, really crazy thing that he did. He won the World Marathon Challenge. He ran 7 marathons on 7 different continents in 7 days. And you can check out his book, Relentless, and we'll talk more with him coming up after this break. Where are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here until 5 a.m., and it's Tuesday morning. We don't have time for another twofer because we have a Blackhawks Express that we have to play, that we're going to play, and another disappointing Blackhawks Express from last night's game. And that'll be coming up in just a little bit. Right now, my guest is David Gething, who in 2015 won the World Marathon Challenge, in which he ran 7 full marathons, 7 different continents in 7 days. He wrote a book about it called Relentless, and we're talking about that and more. Welcome back, David.
Hey, thanks so much.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about how you kept your mind together during this, because obviously this is an incredible challenge, and not only with your body, but your mind as well. And this is, you know, this goes for a lot of the athletes that, you know, we're currently watching at the Olympics, and you have to get your mind in shape as well, correct?
Oh, look, I think you're absolutely right. I think that any one of these guys at the Olympics would tell you that having their mind focused and being, you know, having the right mental outlook and the right attack plan is probably as important, if not more important. You know, you look at the guys on the Olympic start line, and there's 10 guys or girls there who could, on the right day, win it. And I think partly it's the mental shape they're in on that day to power them through. I think that makes more difference. So
I can't even imagine it. I can't even imagine. Now, in the middle of, what was the roughest stretch for you in this incredible adventure, David?
Okay, so that's a good question. I mean, yeah, every race like this has big highs and big lows. And for me, the big low was when I got to Morocco. In Morocco, I'd say we landed, it was 2 o'clock, it was raining, 2 o'clock in the morning, it was cold, and it was just miserable. And I just had enough, basically. I couldn't even get to that start line. I couldn't start. I got this picture of my younger daughter starting school, first day of school without me being there. I felt like such a bad father. It was a really mental low.
Yeah.
And actually, on that day, it took one of my fellow runners, and he sort of said to me, "Look, you know, you can do this. You got to come, and I feel like it'd be you do too." And I guess misery loves company. You know, he got me to that start line. He said, "Look, you're going to start," and we did. We Morocco was a tough race. You know, I ran with him, and we got halfway around the Morocco track, and I wasn't paying attention. I was tired, and I slipped. There was this horrible sort of cracking sound as my ankle gave way, and I only found out later I actually got a stress fracture in my ankle that day. So it was like really, really painful. But somehow managed to get to the finish line. And yeah, it's a funny one when you say it, because I think really when you go through these tough times, you realize how strong you can be. And I think when things are going easy, it's easy for everybody. When things are going tough, you learn about who you really are and what you can get through. It's going to apply for all of us.
Have you been watching the Winter Olympics, David?
I have indeed. I'm actually, funny enough, I've been, of all places, in Kazakhstan last week.
Oh, right. Yeah, my producer told me that. You were in Kazakhstan. What was that? How was that?
It was really cold, but I love the Winter Olympics there. So it was great to watch the Winter Olympics there. Obviously, it was minus 25 degrees Celsius and snowing. And there, it's a huge Winter Olympics town where I was. So got tons of food and lots of excited locals. It was really cool. Yeah, it was fantastic.
That's great. That's really great. Yeah, it's just interesting to try and get into the mind of these athletes. Now, since you are, like, obviously a long distance runner and you do marathons, do you find more interest in the Summer Olympics than the Winter Olympics?
I think so. I mean, I think they're both different. I think very, very different. You even look at the competitors, and the competitors are very, very different people. But I think they're both just fascinating, and there's such a diversity of games. But you look at, say, something like the some of the skiing events, and they're just, the endurance that those guys and girls have is just incredible. And the skill, when you look at the biathlon, it's there to shoot after doing such physical exercise is amazing. I mean, the other thing is, you talk about the mental strength. You look at these guys and girls, and you think, you know, what they've spent their entire life training for comes down to the next seconds and minutes. And that just, the stress on these people to perform is just incredible. Look, if I run the World Marathon Challenge, great. If I didn't, that's still get like a day job, and that's fine. But these guys, just everything hinges on it. I understand that must be so tough for them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I believe that's really what makes the Olympics so dramatic, is that this is, you're absolutely right, David. These are people, very young mostly, who have trained their entire lives for this one moment. And you know, to build that up and to have that in your head and to try and deal with that, I mean, the pressure has to be amazing.
I reckon you've got to shut it out, right? I mean, it's got to be important for you. You've got to know about it, but you can't focus on that when the starting gun goes off. You've got to put everything else aside and just say, you know, today is about the training, about what I've done, and I've got myself to this point. I know that I've done everything I could, and I know that I'm the best that I could be on the starting line. That's all there is to it. I think if you think too much about the consequences, you end up sabotaging your own efforts.
Right.
You focus on the day.
Right.
When you get to that point.
Right. Now, let me ask you this, David. We talked about this the last time you were on. How long did it take you to recover from this? And how did you recover? How did you recover from it?
It took a long, I'm going to say at least 3 months before I could run properly again. I got frostbite in two toes in Antarctica. That sort of has recovered a bit, but it's never entirely recovered. I got a fracture of my right ankle, so that took quite a while to heal as well.
Jeez.
I reckon I ran a marathon 3 months later, just for a fun thing to do with some friends, and I was way off my best time, so I know I was still not good then. It takes a while. There's this old rule that for every hour you're out there on the track or competing, you get 1 week of recovery. I mean, I guess I was doing 7 marathons, let's say it was 20-something hours. Hmm. That means at least 20 weeks of recovery, I guess you're thinking.
Wow. Wow. So, and now, how many marathons have you run since you won the World Marathon Challenge?
Ah, boy. I don't know when to stop throwing my head, I'll tell you that much. I've done quite a few, though. It's like my unusual races. I was in India at the start of the month doing a quadruple marathon nonstop. So it's like basically you start and then you run 4 marathons nonstop and then you finish. And that was 3 weeks ago. So if you want to find out what you're made of, by the time you get to 80, 90 miles, and the total distance is 100 miles, by 80 or 90 miles, you know that even one step after set, you have to focus. You can't even think about getting 10 more miles. I'm just focusing on 10 more steps down. That was a real challenge.
Wow. Wow. It's just amazing. The book is called Relentless. And have you had a lot of success with the book, David?
It's been really flattering, actually. Really good. I've also been really nice. I had people email me and people write to me who I've obviously never met and said, look, I read your story and it sort of resonated with something. And, today I put on my runners and I went out for a run and saved the first day. And I think, that's been really cool. It's been quite touching that people have been able to get in touch. And as I'd always say, you're welcome to look me up, David Gethin. And if anyone wants to sort of have any tips or advice, just email me. I'm really... My contact details are out there on the website. I'm open to help people along.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So that's all there at davidgething.com. If you're interested in his advice and help, listen. We thank you for joining us again. It's an incredible accomplishment and a great book, and really unbelievable. And we thank you for your insight on what it takes to be an athlete and to have your concentration and all that cool stuff. Enjoy the rest of the Olympics, David.
Hey, take care. Thanks again.
All right, take care. There you go. David Gething. Absolutely. Over 2 months. Esmeralda, over 2 months to recuperate. Over 2 months. He couldn't run really until 2 months after this.
Why isn't he even trying to run again? I am done.
No, and he just ran a quadruple marathon.
I'd be like, you know what? I think I got it. Got all the running I needed.
Wow. So, incredible story. And again, going back to, he was 70 pounds overweight. He was drinking. He was smoking. And he quit all that. And now he's running quadruple marathons and 7 marathons on 7 different continents in 7 days. It's just crazy. So, and it's interesting to get his insight on what's happening inside the head of a great athlete. So, we thank him for joining us. All right, we got to take a break. We got the news coming up next. And we're going to talk about odd and unusual Happy Meal toys. That McDonald's has provided over the years. But the news is up next.